Hello and welcome to another Newsmakers Podcast. Today we're talking with Nexstar Network coach Jody Peters. The topic is meetings, when to have them, what should be accomplished, and how long they will be. So enjoy the information and we'll see you on the other side. We're now going to bring in Jody Peter, who is the Nexstar business coach. Thanks for joining us today, Jody.
Good to be here.
We just wanted to talk a little bit about meetings and at a contractor as a leader of an organization, what the best way to go about this is. So ideally, how often should a contractor be meeting with their staff? And should it be the entire staff, just top management? What's the best way to go about it?
You know, those are really great questions, Kyle. We can certainly all, I think, run the risk of maybe death by meetings, too many meetings, not enough meetings, meetings that don't make a difference. So certainly there should be some thought, you know, put around that. I really encourage my contractors that I coach to meet with their leadership team twice a week. So if I speak just about the kind of top management piece, I recommend twice a week. And one of those meetings is with just the owner and a manager of the department that they are in charge of. And really this is a scheduled meeting where that manager reports the department activities, keeps the manager or the owner in touch with, you know, the day-to-day, what's going on. It's a way for them to kind of inspect what they expect, if you will, without micromanaging a manager, you know, giving them space to do what they do, but also making sure that they focus on some key activities.
Sure.
And I've actually got some forms that I use for a variety of different management positions that I share with my contractors and encourage them to use them with their teams. So, you know, these are forms that a manager would complete every week. They can use it for their agenda in those one-on-one sessions and making sure that the meetings really have some purpose and they're not just meetings for the sake of meetings.
Right.
That the second time a week, though, that they would meet is really more of what I like to call a leadership meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you're going to get all the managers or leaders together in the company, and they're going to do a variety of different things depending on what's going on. Maybe goal development, maybe celebration of successes, maybe it's communicate key items for the week, and maybe even put together some action items to overcome any challenges that might be going on in the business.
Okay. Now, do you have a sweet spot in how long meetings should be to keep people interested and, I guess, you know, not put them to sleep?
I do. You know, as a guideline, one-hour meetings are always best. Really never more than an hour and a half, at least not without a break. You know, after 90 minutes, people tend to shut down, and the meetings really lose their effectiveness. It's always going to be better to have two one-hour meetings rather than 1 2-hour meeting, for instance.
Right.
And, you know, in the situation where, you know, meetings is a broad topic, but maybe an owner is going to have a day-long strategy session or a retreat or something like that with their leadership team, really being conscious that every 90 minutes to give everyone a break, give them the chance to kind of process what they've just heard, take a mental break and resist the urge to plow through stuff, you know, and skip those breaks. Those breaks are really important for effectiveness.
That makes sense. Now, when you set up these meetings, would you recommend they have a strict agenda, be a little more free-flowing, or maybe a little bit of both?
I think it is a little bit of both. I mean, a meeting without an agenda can kind of be a road to nowhere. You know, it's really a means of the presenter being prepared. You know, every meeting has got to have a purpose, so it's always a good idea to have an agenda so you make sure that you're hitting on those important topics and things that you want to cover. And, you know, it's important still to leave some flex time, though, and allow that in your agenda so that there's time for some questions and answers or further discussion and whatnot.
Okay. Now, would you recommend the contractor do most of the talking? Do you want to empower the employees by having them present? What's the best way there?
That is another great question because I think it really depends on the circumstances. You know, as a participant, meeting participants love presenters. They're not just knowledgeable, so they don't just know the content, but they're excited to be there, maybe a little entertaining. You know, again, meetings need to be as effective as possible, and that person that can engage the audience isn't always the contractor. So we're, you know, we're not all good at everything, but we do have all things, you know, good, or we're all good at certain things. So if a contractor's not good at presenting, you probably should find somebody that is good at that, and mixing that up, involving the rest of the team, certainly, you know, does create an engaging audience. Get more personalities into it that way.
Sure. This next question is something that always kind of interested me. Actually, you know, I have a question with our staff here. Is it better to schedule, like you were talking before, there's a weekly meeting and every week at this time we have that meeting, or just wait until you have enough times enough items on the agenda so you're not having a meeting just because we're supposed to have a meeting at Wednesday at 10 a.m.? What camp do you fall in?
You know, I think there's a lot to be said for consistent scheduled meetings. You know, I'll kind of go back to what you were talking about, you know, those meetings with your staff. By scheduling those, it does a couple of things. It, first of all, it makes sure that there's a standing time. It kind of indirectly sends the message that they're important, you know, because they are. And, you know, those impromptu meetings, I think they have a place. You know, certainly there are situations that come up in businesses where an owner might want to call an impromptu meeting. You know, being conscious that as you do those kinds of things, communicate that well to your staff, what those impromptu meetings look like, so that they're not drawing negative conclusions in advance of the meeting. You know, I've been in a place before where, you know, the owner says, well, we're going to have a meeting, and I might ask myself, well, I wonder what's up. You know, yeah. Something must be going bad. Something must be wrong. You know, he scheduled a meeting. So, well, you know, if you're going to do those impromptu ones, certainly have to communicate to your team. But those impromptu meetings, I think you had mentioned something, Kyle, about, you know, when I have enough to call a meeting. And I think that certainly, you know, every business owner should really be conscious of effective versus efficient meetings. And what I mean by that is, I've seen contractors wait until they have a ton of agenda items, they schedule a meeting, the owner might think, well, as long as I got everybody together, I'm going to chuck that meeting full of everything I got. Mm-hmm. And what they end up with is a meeting that's kind of overloaded. And it might feel efficient because I got a lot done in a short amount of time, but it's not necessarily effective. So just being conscious of that, I think, is pretty important.
Okay, those are good ideas. And then how do you keep employees engaged in the meeting? Donuts, jokes, what do you got for us?
Well, I think food with every technician, if we're talking about employees, I've yet to be in a shop where food doesn't certainly kick it up a notch. So
there you go.
That can be good. But I think that, you know, as a rule, I would start with making sure that you have a pleasurable meeting space. You know, if a meeting room is boring, the meeting might be boring. You know, so making sure that you're conscious of what the meeting space looks like. Music is another great way to get people energized. You know, starting a meeting or before a meeting, having music playing is a great way. And, you know, once you kind of get into the meeting itself, I think resisting the urge to lecture. Lecture is boring. And you probably don't like hearing others lecture all day. I know I don't.
Right.
And it's just not as effective as it could be. I think a good presenter is really going to benefit from getting the participants interacting with something. And small group exercises are really a great way to do that. For example, maybe you're a service manager and you're conducting a service meeting. You got those donuts, you got the music, everything is going good. And maybe you're going to introduce a new maintenance agreement. You want to train the technicians on this maintenance agreement so that they can offer it to the customers, and you talk about the benefits and all those kinds of things. You might create a small group exercise where you'd break up that large room of technicians, you know, put them in smaller workable groups and have them present to each other. You know, they could have small group discussions about what are the advantages of this new agreement, how am I going to present it to them, gives them an opportunity to kind of dig into what you talked about, and really creates an environment where the techs are actively engaged right away. So they're participating in what you just talked about. So it really forces them to think about it instead of just sitting back in their chair listening to you talk. So just kind of some some tips for keeping them engaged, I guess.
Yeah, no, those are good ideas. Now, I know I've been peppering you with a bunch of questions here, but any other advice that you could share to a contractor who's looking how to have more efficient and productive meetings?
Well, I guess I could offer some tips, maybe.
Okay.
You know, as general rules, I think, you know, as a presenter or owner, you know, as somebody that's putting together meetings, really be conscious of what the outcome of the meeting needs to be. So, you know, don't just meet to discuss, meet to decide. Have an action that happens at the end of a meeting or have a real purpose for it. Don't make the meetings about you. It's about them. You know, thinking about what do they need to hear, not what do you need to say. And I think lastly, I would be really conscious of how you open your meetings and close your meetings. You want to open and close them with a bang. You know, people remember the first things that you say and the last things that you say best. So really make those pieces memorable, how you start and how you end.
Okay. Thanks, Jordy. Those are some good nuggets. Like I said at the beginning, you're a NextStar business coach. You want to tell our contractor listeners maybe how they get in contact with your group and learn some more about, you know, this type of business management stuff and also what your group's all about?
Certainly. We are a member-owned business development organization for heating, plumbing, and air conditioning contractors. And we would love to talk to people about our membership. You could go to www.nextstarnetwork.com for more information. Or you could give the office a call. That telephone number is 888-609-5490.
All right. Sounds great, Jordy. Really appreciate the time, and I'm going to go and plan my next meeting now.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Thanks again, Jordy, for the information. Hope everyone got some nuggets of knowledge out of that conversation. Any other podcasts, you can find us on iTunes or achrnews.com. Good times, everybody.